So we are here now talking with Abby Kovacic, Executive Director with Brightside Up, which used to be known as the Child Care Council of the Capital District. Abby, can you give us an overview of what Brightside Up does?
Sure. Brightside Up is a child care resource and referral agency, partly funded by the New York State Office of Children and Family Services. And we help individuals who work in early care and education. We provide professional development and coaching and all kinds of supports. We also help families find child care, and we license programs. We help them to understand how to give children medication. Our vision is to create a world where all children are understood, and we do that through the adults who work with them.
Excellent.
Can you tell, what are the differences between regulated child care and more informal child care providers? And why are the differences so important?
Sure. So in New York State, if you care for more than two children for more than 3 hours a day, you're required to be licensed by the Office of Children and Family Services. So a regulated child care program could include a family child care home, a child care center, after school programs. But then there is a category of caregiver that's known as a legally exempt educator, who might be a family friend or neighbor who is unlicensed and exempt from licensing, either because of their family relationship with the child or because they care for fewer children that's required for licensing.
Are there any regulations regarding that? No?
Yep. So there's a monitoring system. New York State has probably the best regulations in the country for early care and education, and there is a monitoring process that all people who care for children go through, including fingerprinting and background checks.
So even if you're like a cousin or an aunt or a grandparent, you need to be certified?
Nope, not family members, but other individuals.
Interesting. So when I was a child, I was often just, you know, watched by the neighborhood babysitter when my parents were unavailable. And I'm pretty sure she wasn't fingerprinted. So is this something that would exclude that level of informality, or is your organization something that would work with the neighborhood babysitter to make sure that they have everything they need?
So if you're referring to a babysitter, like somebody who took care of you while your parents went out to dinner or maybe had to do a shopping errand or something like that, those people are exempt. It's not regular and sustained care of a child.
But if a babysitter was watching the whole neighborhood's group of kids every day, like, you know, that would somewhere along that line would...
So for two or more children for 3 or more hours. So if your neighbor were caring for 4 children all day while families were at work, that would be considered regulated child care, would have to be registered or licensed.
Okay.
What are some of the shortcomings that develop out of your project?
So we published a report that is called Restoring the Grid.
Oh, and this is a nice looking report.
It's very fancy. And so basically, it's a little different from some of the other reports that we've done. It includes some information about the need for child care across the Capital Region. But we also looked at other social determinants of health, including whether there was medical providers for children and dental providers for children and access to developmental screening.
Is this a parent's responsibility? It's not necessarily the caregiver's responsibility, is it?
So, true. However, we do find that children who are enrolled in regulated, high-quality child care programs are more likely to have medical care because, of course, some of the licensing requirements instruct that children have to have a yearly or annual visit, that they have to have updated immunizations, those kinds of things. And early educators are more likely to identify red flags, developmental red flags, and are more likely then to refer children for a developmental screen.
Wow.
So you just mentioned how lack of quality, affordable child care can have an impact on the health of children. What other impacts can it have?
So there's a huge economic boon to having enough high quality child care. Mm-hmm. Families who can afford child care can pursue education or work. And so it helps the economy in New York to have quality programs where children are safe. It also helps to support children's development during early years. And so children who are in early programs typically have exposure to learning opportunities that strengthen their academic outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Does the government fund any of this?
Yes. In New York State, there is subsidized child care so that parents who have a financial need can go to the county where they reside and can receive child care subsidy to pay for child care.
And is this funding at all, sufficient for the demand?
So there's a couple things that are a problem with early care and education. Of course, funding is one of those things. Do we have enough money for all people who could use it available in every county? No, we don't. Do we have enough child care? No, we don't. So in the capital region, we have a pretty significant shortage. We've been losing child care at a greater rate than we've been developing it, primarily because people are choosing other careers, or people who are staying in the field aren't staying as long as they had once stayed. Mm. And so they're moving into the field and then out of the field, maybe for a better job at a child care or at an elementary school, or they go to another industry, that kind of thing. So we do find that regulated child care is lacking in the capital region, including child care during non-traditional hours, which for us is evening, night, and weekend. Yeah. So families have a hard time finding that. It's also very expensive. Child care is extremely expensive, and so it's difficult for families to afford formalized care.
So for all the non-parents out there, can you help us with an idea of the budgeting for this? Like, how expensive is child care?
So if you have an infant and you choose a child care center, it'll cost you more to send that infant to care for a year than it would to send your freshman to a community college for a year.
Oh my gosh.
Really?
Yes.
And so where is most of this expense going? Because you just mentioned that a lot of people are leaving the field, early to find, quote, a better job. So I imagine that it probably doesn't pay a lot either to be in early child care. So where's the expense?
So one would think that you're making all this money to charge that much money. But the truth is, it's unlike an elementary school classroom or a college classroom where you can have 25 or 35 children per caregiver. Our regulations in New York State require that you have one caregiver for four infants or five toddlers or six preschoolers. So the cost of faculty at a child care program is much higher than it is at other schools. And so that's what parents are paying
for. On a per child basis.
On a per child basis.
Ah, but even though potentially on a per worker basis, they might be earning less than they would if they were in, a school teacher, for example.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, my curiosity is taking me to, if you have a job to pay for your child's child care, do you have any money left over with the way that wage earning is not terrific here?
Right. It's very complex for families. So families struggle to be able to afford high quality child care if they can find it, and then if they can afford it. It's a real obstacle.
So I know that there are other nations that, are dealing with people having children, and that a number of them have paid maternal leave for upwards of like 2 years. Mm-hmm. Would that be a better option for Americans, versus the options that you see? Is your organization advocating for anything beyond the options that are currently available?
So we strongly support parent paid leave. And of course, the governor in New York has done a great deal around that issue. And so we're in a much better spot than we were before. However, we do really support early education. We know that, for example, Head Start has had a tremendous impact on children who come from poverty, who get that head start so they're ready for school.
Sorry, what is Head Start for people who are uninitiated?
Right. So Head Start is a federal program for parents, families who might live in poverty. And so children since for over 40 years, can attend that program free of charge. And so the research indicates that children who have had an early Head Start experience are better ready for school than children who had not had that experience.
So it's essentially free child care paid for by the government?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. And is that during the conventional hours, typically?
So, yes, it's during the conventional hours. And, of course, in Troy, there's a phenomenal Head Start program run out of the CEO here in Troy. And every county has a Head Start program that enrolls children from the community and who are able to experience early education.
So you had mentioned that there was not enough volume of, or there isn't enough available child care for the amount of child care demand. So is that because organizations like, or, you know, this program Head Start is both either understaffed or underfunded? Like, what would be required to fill that gap?
So not all people are qualified for Head Start. So it is someone who is at the federal poverty level. And if the Head Start program has spaces, they can take people who are slightly above the federal poverty level.
And is that on a combined household income?
So it would be the household income for the family.
Okay. And what is that income limit?
I'm not familiar with exactly what that income is,
but it's the
federal poverty level.
All right.
Listen, if we need to get some more information from you, is there a website or Facebook or Instagram or some kind of connection, contact we could use?
Sure. So for the Head Starts, each Head Start program would have their income levels posted right on their websites. Mm-hmm. And at Brightside Up on our website, we have income levels for county subsidy reimbursement.
Mm-hmm. So to get a hold of or get it further information, do we just go to brightsideup.com?
.org.
.org. Mm-hmm. Okay, and where is that? What city is that in?
So we are located in Menands, which is right outside of Albany, but we cover Albany, Schenectady, Rensselaer, Saratoga, and Fulton-Montgomery counties.
So for more information, we would go to brightsideup.org.
That's correct.
That's lovely.
Well, great. This has been lovely speaking with you. Is there any more information that you know you might be able to give to our listeners?
So the Restoring the Good Grid report is available on our website. If you just go to brightsideup.org and you look at our menu, you'll see our sandbox. And in the sandbox, you'll see community reports. And that's where you can find it.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Abby. Abby Kavocek from Brightside Up. We thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks.
You.